All right, well, it's 9:06. We should probably get started. And this morning, what I wanted to do is look at kind of just an overview and probably just a partial overview of missions here at Oak Ridge. You guys know that normally we spend 2 months a year focusing on missions. That's July and August in normal years, but last year with 2020, that was disrupted, and then this year with other things going on, for instance, Grant, hey man, welcome, all the stuff that was going on with him, we just thought it best to put a pause on that for this year as well. Next year, Lord willing, we're going to return to the 2 month focus on missions and highlighting the missionaries that we support and discussing in greater depth our convictions concerning the work of missions and Oak Ridge's responsibility and role in that, or at least how we view that. But for today, I wanted to jump into this and get an overview of how Oak Ridge views the work of missions and our role in that great work. And the reason why I wanted to do that today is because next week we're going to have one of the missionaries that we support here in person, and he's going to be giving us an update. And in fact, this is going to be his introduction to you. You've never met him. You have never even, most of you have not even heard his full name. We call him Brother T. And he is stateside by the grace of God, and will be staying with our family from the 17th through the 23rd, I believe, as he's visiting different churches and different bodies of believers who are supporting him up here. So you're going to meet him next week. That will not be recorded and it will not be posted online. So if you want to be a part of that, you need to be here in person. And I'm really excited to meet him face to face. I've had many conversations with him and I'm very encouraged by his ministry, but I can't wait to meet him face to face and then hear more about his ministry next week with you. So that's going on, and I figured that would be a great opportunity for us to at least take 1 week to focus on missions here at Oak Ridge, and then after Brother T presents to us next week, we will return to our favorite study, which is the 1689, at least chapter 3 of the 1689 Confession. So, as we start, why don't you just pray with me, pray for the Lord's blessing to be with us this morning. Father, we are always thankful to gather here together, or to gather knowing your promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. Lord Jesus, that is your promise to us. And we trust in you and we believe in that promise, and we want to rejoice in the reality that you are here and you are among us. Lord, I pray that you would help us recognize that presence, or that your presence among us, that promise that comes even with the Great Commission, or that you, as we go about doing your will and seeking to fulfill the work you've entrusted to us, you've made us the promise that you will be with us to the end of the age. So I pray that this morning we would recognize that, you would enable us to see it more clearly, and or that we would be encouraged and empowered to keep pressing forward to accomplish this great work that you've given to your church. Lord, give us wisdom to know our role in this and to advance in understanding how we can be more greatly involved in accomplishing the work of the Great Commission. Lord, would you please honor your name and glorify your Son among us this morning, Father? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do have a cutoff at 9:50. Nate Smith is going to come up here to make an announcement in relation to Promise Kingdom. And so we'll, wherever we are, we will end at 9:50. But maybe we should start here this morning. I want to ask you a question, and I'd love to hear your answers. Hopefully answers, not just one person giving an answer, but I'd like to hear from many of you. How would you define the work of missions, and how would you define a missionary? What is the work of missions, and what is a missionary? Is there anybody who's willing? Jason, would you be willing to run the mic for a minute?
Sure.
There, brother. Matt will have it. All right. Chris, and then Corbin, and then Joy.
I would think an evangelist that goes like away from their home, I suppose.
An evangelist.
Goes out to the world, goes to the, you know, reaches the people of the world, doing evangelism, not just doing, I guess, serving the Lord, but actually preaching the gospel to people.
Hold the mic. So, doing the work of evangelism,
yeah.
Not locally,
right?
But going out. How would you describe the work of evangelism?
Evangelism, preaching the gospel, the good news of Christ's work on the cross and dying for sinners, and that we can receive salvation by trusting him.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Corbin? That's good. That's a huge element. Like, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that it's, I mean, I agree with what he said. I would say, too, that it's preaching the word and making disciples, basically fulfilling the Great Commission. And I would say missions can even be locally. It could be in inner city Minneapolis, too. I would say missions is maybe external to it, the local church building but it's reaching out, preaching the gospel, making disciples.
Okay. Ms. Joy?
Well, now that I've listened to Chris and Corbin, I've kind of changed my what I was going to say. The first thing that comes to mind is I think of someone who's a missionary is a person within whom God has put a burning desire to go and minister to people that are unlike themselves in material ways or cultural ways. I think an evangelist is somebody that has a really strong burden for people who have not heard the gospel for the lost. And I think you have to kind of have both of those to be a missionary, but the evangelist doesn't necessarily want to go to some exotic place or exotic people.
So kind of what you're getting at is maybe a difference between an evangelist and a missionary in our understanding of those terms would be one is working more locally, the other is maybe working cross-culturally. Maybe you've heard that phrase before. Brian?
Yes, I think of missions as the church purposely sending one or more out to spread the gospel. And so the missionary would be the one that they, those that they've designated to go. And it could be sent locally or elsewhere. And it could come from within the church, or they could be using their resources to fund someone else already in that area.
So part of fulfilling that work as a church is sending and supporting.
Yes.
Sending and supporting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see that in the New Testament, right? Church in Philippi didn't send out the Apostle Paul, but they did support him in the work of ministry. One else? Mike?
Well, I'm not so sure that crossing a geographic border qualifies you to be a missionary. We had one missionary that we were sending out, and this gal had a renter from a foreign country, and he wanted to hear about Jesus. And I talked to the missionary, and I said, here's the guy's name, here's the number, call him, he wants to know about Jesus. I talked to him 2 weeks later, and I said, did you get a hold of so-and-so? No. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't. So I talked to him about a month later, and I said, do you ever get a hold of that guy? And he kind of hung his head, and he said, no, I haven't. I said, wait a minute. I said, you're going overseas to be a missionary to tell people about Jesus, and you can't walk across the street to somebody that wants to hear the good news of the gospel and tell them. And so what is a missionary? I mean, in the true sense of the word, and is there geographic borders that make a difference? I mean, I believe that, you know, we have home missions as well as foreign mission departments. And so should we be any different than someone just because you cross a geographic border? I mean, I think missions is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and then discipling that person so they come to maturity in their discipling and winning others to Christ. Mm. I think that's, to me, that's the bottom line, and I think we're all missionaries.
So I don't forget, amen to everything you said. One thing I would say at the end, I don't think we're all missionaries. I think we're all on mission. We all have a mission that we are seeking to fulfill. But a missionary, Stacy, James, you have you absorbed Latin from your wife? Okay. No transference, no osmosis going on there. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, and I need to check this, but our English word missionary comes from the Latin word missionario, or missionare, or something like that, which is what was used to translate the Greek word apostolos, apostle, one who was sent out. And so in 2 Corinthians 8, we have an example of at least a difference between what we would title or term a capital A apostle, you know, like the 12 or the Apostle Paul, and lowercase a apostles. And the phrase here that distinguishes the two is that these people in 2 Corinthians 8 are termed apostles of the churches, whereas capital A apostles are termed apostles of Christ. And so you have a group of men who are apostles, capital A apostles, who are sent out by Christ himself. And then you have another group of people who are lowercase a apostles, and they are sent out by the churches. If you're wondering where I'm getting that, skip down to, let's see, verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He says, we have sent with them, with those who are honorable, we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Now that word messengers there, is anyone else, you have a different translation that reads differently?
Mine has a footnote that says apostles.
Yours has a footnote? Is that the ESV?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so the ESV has a footnote that says the word here is apostles. These people are apostles of the churches. Now, what I'm bringing out here is that what we call a missionary is what this group of people here in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians verse 23, it's what this group of people is. These are people who have been commissioned by the church and have been sent out on mission under the authority of the church that sent them. We're not all missionaries like that, right? We're not sent out to work in exclusively in frontier missions and seeing the gospel make advancements on the front lines of the mission field. But we are all on mission. And the mission is being obedient to everything that Christ has commanded us to do, right? This is part of the Great Commission, that we are to observe all that Christ commanded us to do. That is the mission that all of us are responsible to fulfill, even if we are not all sent out officially as missionaries. So I agree with most of what you said, but that last part, I want to make that distinction because, well, for this reason. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
So in one sense, you know, we're all appointed as royal priests by God
yep.
to take the message to wherever we're at, whether it's across the geographic border or whether it's in the United States.
Yes, but we're not all called to be missionaries in the sense of the missionaries that we support as a church body who are exclusively dedicated to doing that kind of work. And,
well, you could support us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
Hey,
amen. No, I feel that. I feel that.
Verse 19. I kind of want to read it because I was looking things up. He speaks about traveling. And King James says, not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel
yeah.
with us in his grace.
The gracious work.
And I
yeah.
think that's
yeah, yeah, and these apostles of the churches were set apart to work alongside the Apostle Paul. And so you have one who was sent out under the authority of Christ directly, and then you have those who were sent out by Christ indirectly who are operating under the authority of the church, a local church, and but they're working together towards the same end. So I didn't mean to go into all that. Sorry if that doesn't add anything or doesn't add much to the discussion this morning. So what is missions and what is a missionary? Miss Vicki.
I wasn't going to answer that question. I was
oh, okay.
going
to
ask a question.
We're free. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I just was hoping to clarify because of the prosperity gospel that likes to call people apostles.
Yeah.
Will you distinguish between these minor kind of apostles you're discussing that we all could, that many of us are, and
yeah.
the ones that call themselves self, you know, the self-appointed ones?
Yeah. Jamie and I were in one church in Indiana for a season that had its representative apostle. When I was in Guatemala, I had the great joy of experiencing, and I say that sarcastically, of experiencing the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, Sean Moongrew, just a couple hours before he tried to seduce three of the young girls in the church. All of these, he was exposed, thankfully, but nobody did anything about it because he was an apostle and touched not the Lord's anointed. Yeah. When I'm speaking of apostles of the churches, I in no way am thinking of these self-proclaimed or even self-exalted apostles that would put themselves on the same level as capital A apostles, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Andrew, and whoever else. Hold on, brother. These apostles in 2 Corinthians 8 are those who are recognized by, trained, by and among, and then sent out by the church. They are not over the authority of the church, they are under the authority of the local church, which is not what the apostles and, for example, the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR movement, those apostles belonging to that movement would not say that they are under the authority of the church, they would say that the church is under their authority. And by doing so, they would put themselves on an equal plane with capital A apostles. That's not what this text says. There are only a certain number of foundations of the church, and Revelation gives a number 12. And whether that includes the Apostle Paul or not, that's a discussion for a different time. But the reality is that calling, that office has closed. And the only apostles that are left in the New Testament church nowadays are those who are sent out by and under the authority of the local church.
So just a quick clarification, is it the act of being supported by a church, or is it the act of going to a foreign country that defines missionary? Because, or say, are you or grand missionaries because you're supported by the church?
No. So I'm not a missionary just because I'm supported by the church. I'm a pastor, right? And so what's the difference in focus? Yeah, well, pastor, elder, bishop, it's all the same. And so, in Scripture, there's no division between elder and pastor. I think that there's a passage in the New Testament that most clearly describes the heart and the work of a missionary. And I'm waiting to see if someone's going to bring it out, but it's from Paul. Romans 15. 20. Hang on, if you're going to read it, wait for the mic.
This is at the end of Romans chapter 15, verse 20. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that at the heart of it, that is what describes the work of a missionary, the heart of a missionary, the desire, the ambition, the task. A missionary is one who is laboring to see Christ named where Christ has not yet been named. Now, we can get into a debate as to, you know, what about those countries in Europe, for example, where they're so backslidden and apostate that there's no longer an accurate, true representative for the gospel working among certain cities or regions within those countries. Is it sending a missionary to send someone to that region? That's a huge discussion. And that involves Christ, you know, commanding us to shake the dust off of our feet and move on whenever we've been rejected, or, you know, how do we understand that? That's a massive discussion. But I would say that Romans 15 does capture the essence of what the work of missions really is. We are sending out people who are burdened to labor in places where the name of Christ has not yet been named. Now we're getting into ecclesiology, and you put me on the spot here in front of everybody. I would say no, because I believe that the work of missions is something that takes place under the authority of a local church.
And what is the church now? Because we are.
Sure.
With the purpose of leading people to Christ and discipling people. So, in order to be a church, you have to be under the denomination, or can it be a group of believers that are meeting together, doing the functions of the church? Are we a church in essence, or are we an organization that promotes Christ? Mm. So, what is the difference?
I'll give a brief definition of that, and then I'm going to get back to this. In essence, a church is a group of believers who have been called by the grace of God to belong to Christ, called into fellowship with His Son. They've been gathered together, and among them there is the preaching of the Word of God, there is the practice of the ordinances, and an endeavoring to fulfill the Great Commission. Now there are many, many other things I could add to that list, but broadly speaking, a church body is a place where the gospel is being proclaimed, where people who belong to Christ have gathered together for the sake of fellowship, and where the ordinances are being practiced. I would say that it's under that umbrella of authority that Christ's authority to commission and send someone out as a representative of the gospel into unreached places. I believe that authority from Christ flows directly through the entity of the church. Now that may not have satisfied everyone's curiosity or even what you think I should have said there, but in essence, I believe that that's what a local church is. Now, when it comes to the work of missions and doing the work of missions, I believe Romans 15 really does get at the essence of it. The Great Commission has two elements to it. You've got the going, and then you've got the training of those who have been made disciples. So you've got going out, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then you have the teaching element of that, teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded them. So you have the initial submission of someone to Christ in baptism, and then you have the training of that person, teaching that person how to observe the will of Christ for their lives. Those two things of the Great Commission are accomplished through a partnership of missionary activity and the planting of local churches and raising up of pastors. And so, go ahead. You got that hand. It's just like... Yeah. So he is a citizen of our country.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And but that has nothing to do with whether or not we support him as a missionary. But he is under the authority of a local church, and he was sent out and commissioned by a local church, and operates under an organization through the authority of that local church. And what we've done is, we've basically just come alongside of him, much like the way the church in Philippi did with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was sent out through the church in Antioch, not the church in Philippi. But the church in Philippi came alongside Paul and helped support him in the work that the church in Antioch had commissioned him to do, the Holy Spirit had commissioned him to do. And so that's what we've done with this, with Brother T. We've come alongside of him and we've said, you know, we want to help your sending church support you in the work of missions. And so I think that probably the simplest, clearest definition that I've heard when it comes to defining the work of missions was given by Paul Washer. Anybody, most of you are familiar with Paul Washer. He describes the work of missions as one biblical church planting another biblical church. And so a missionary would be someone who is qualified and gifted by the Lord to go out and do that kind of work, to be sent from a biblical local church to go out and duplicate or replicate what had been taking place within that first local body. So sent out by that church to basically just do the same thing over again in a different place. I personally don't know that I hold to a strong distinction that missionary, in order to be a missionary, has to be in a different cultural context. I don't know where I'm not convinced of that yet. But regardless, I do think that that's the simplest and clearest way to describe the work of missions. It's one biblical church planting another biblical church. Go ahead, Bill.
I want to go to the word evangelist because sometimes there's kind of a crossover in our mind. So yeah. If an evangelist is one who shares the good news, correct?
A gospelizer. Yep.
Okay, gospel. Yep. Okay, good. So in a sense, we are all evangelists, but in our culture or our language, our use of that, we think of that as being special evangelists, like Billy Graham, for instance.
Sure.
But in a sense, while we're not all missionaries, we are, in a sense, all evangelists, correct? Not in the way we think of it in our culture, but language-wise, you know, biblically, we're to share, everybody's to share the gospel.
So I don't believe that we're all evangelists in the Ephesians 4:11 sense, that, you know, this four- or fivefold ministry, whatever you want to, however you want to break that down. But we are all called to do evangelism, right?
And,
in 2 Timothy 4, it's in 2 Timothy 4, I believe. So I'm not sure what how was that brought up in our discussion? What triggered that thought in your mind to bring that up?
I was just thinking, you know, evangelism, mission.
Sure.
Nice.
Okay.
You know, just go back and forth in our thoughts and what's the official difference. If you're saying the mission is one to set out from the local church, evangelists.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's interesting is I would never die on this hill, but I do think that there is some evidence in the New Testament to say, you guys have maybe heard the division between, or at least the different ways that like an evangelist is described compared to a missionary, that an evangelist works out of a local church more locally, and a missionary goes out from the local church into a different place to plant a church. I think that there's some evidence of that kind of relationship in the New Testament. For example, in Acts chapter 8, verse 40, we're talking about Philip. It says that Philip found himself at Azotus, or Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel, kept evangelizing, and all of a sudden, he gets planted there in Caesarea. Now, the next time we come across Philip is in Acts 21, where Paul and his traveling companions, in verse 6, they went on aboard a ship and they returned home again. And when we had finished, Luke writes, the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and after greeting the brethren, we stayed with them for a day. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea. Now listen to the way this describes Philip here. We came back to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now, Philip is called the evangelist here. This is about 15 years after the end of Acts 8, 15 to 20 years. And so for 15 to 20 years, Philip has been in Caesarea. And at this time, 15, 20 years later, after his initial arrival, all of a sudden we find him being called Philip the evangelist. Now, I believe that his gifting as an evangelist was being utilized by the Lord within a local church to stir on the believers, to train them, teach them how to do evangelism in their own context. I think that's what an evangelist is, not a crusade type thing like Billy Graham necessarily, but someone who is actively laboring among a local body of believers to evangelize the rest of the people in their area and to see the church body continue to grow in their work of doing evangelism. Now that has everything to do with missions, doesn't it?
Well, in Ephesians, it talks about Christ, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, evangelism is a gift. I don't believe we're all evangelists. We're all called to be witnesses. Okay, and the difference between evangelists and a witness is like a prosecuting attorney is an evangelist. He's going after it, and he's a witness is we're sharing what Christ has done for us. In other words, how I came to Christ, what is God doing in my life. So I'm a witness to Christ, and
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mr. Roy.
Based on this, my distinction between apostle and missionary is a little bit blurred in this discussion.
Sure.
So, is like you said, the word missionary, the Latin word that appeared that we use, I don't think the word missionary is actually in the New Testament. Missionary. There is the word apostle. So how do we,
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's like I went through a really long missions training class, and all throughout the whole class, they never once addressed the condition of the heart of the missionary. It was all about
the
things that we did.
Yeah. Well, I guess when it comes to understanding that distinction between apostle and what we use today, missionary, I think what really matters is what are we getting at in substance whenever we use the word missionary? Are we talking about the same thing as the biblical word apostle? I would say yes, yeah, we are. So does it really, it's not something worth getting hung up over. Yeah. 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 And in light of the
word missionary, most people,
right,
church people, assume that it's somebody who left their native home to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Whether that's correct interpretation or not, that's what most people think.
Sure. Well, and I think that with the confusion of apostle in our day, it's probably better just to maintain missionary. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. You're fine. You're fine.
But I do want to tell you, I have two uncles that were missionaries to Manaus Brazil, and my brother was a missionary to Peru. And I was about 12 when this whole thing began. And I remember the word penetration. And that's always, it's going to a place where there is no light.
Ah.
And where you
penetrating. Penetrating an area with the light of the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah. Well, I hope we're running out of time, but I hope that what this discussion has brought out is how difficult it actually is to discuss and come to an agreed upon definition of the work of missions and the qualifying characteristics of a missionary. How do we actually define a missionary? How do we actually define the work of missions? Is the work of missions, does that include paying someone to work in, and this is just an example, paying someone to work on staff in the office of a missions organization? Does that include supporting the work of missions? And do we call that person a missionary? Do we call someone who is working to organize the missionary endeavors of a certain region, of including multiple countries, where he's not necessarily working on the front lines, but he's working among local churches to seek to engage those local churches to get involved in the work of doing missionary, missionary activity? Do we call someone like that a missionary? And do we include that under the umbrella of the work of missions? These are things that the missions committee has been wrestling through for about 2 years. And it's been a very hard and challenging discussion among some of us. It's been frustrating, and we've been close to yelling at each other at times, because we all have our own understanding of what qualifies as the work of missions. We all come with our preconceived ideas, our presuppositions, of what it means to be a missionary and what it means to do the work of missions. What we have to do is come back to the scriptures and let the scriptures filter out our ideas and say, okay, what do the scriptures tell us about the work of missions? What do the scriptures indicate to us as involves being a missionary? And I believe the key passages really come down to Romans 15, Paul's own missionary ambition to preach Christ where Christ has not been named. And then to see healthy local churches who are established in the wake of those forefront missionaries who are continuing to fulfill the work of the Great Commission in teaching and training those converts to live lives that are glorifying to Christ. So I believe when we're talking about the work of missions and missionaries, I believe that is the grid through which we have to view the work. It is one local church, biblical, Christ-honoring, Christ-exalting local church seeking to plant another biblical, Christ-honoring, Christ-exalting local church in another area where Christ is not being named. Now, could that include North Minneapolis? Maybe. Could that include Sri Lanka? Yes. Could that include India? Absolutely. Anywhere in Africa, South America? Are there places in Canada where we still need biblical local churches? I think the last year and a half has shown us, yes, we do. Yes, we do. So how do we understand the work of missions and the work of a missionary? It's a very complicated issue. Mike, I'm going to let you say that, and then I'm going to end on one thing. I never said that funding was what qualified someone to be called a missionary. Right. What I said was, what I said was that there's.
We have a biblical example of the church's funding this work as well.
Yeah, right.
Right, but it's an important thing to keep in mind that even without funding, Paul was still commissioned to go out and do the work of missions. And that's an interesting thing to talk about. You know, we could get into that some other time. But you know, the kind of people that I want to see supported as missionaries by this church are those that even if they don't have the funding to go out and do the work of missions, are still living and acting and operating as missionaries right here in their context. If they're not doing it here, they're not going to do it there. And anyway, that's just a side note there. I want to read to you the proposed definition of missions that the missions committee has come up with over the last couple of years. And please believe me when I say that much sweat and tears, and we almost got to the point where we were shedding blood. Went into cultivating and developing this definition. So our suggested definition of missions.
Is it long? Can I write it down? Or can you post it on the website?
Everything I say is long. You know that. Yeah. You know that. No, it's not too long. And I can email it to you if you want.
All right.
So. So our suggested definition of missions. Missions is an organized endeavor to further the global fulfillment of the Great Commission by advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ among all tribes, languages, peoples, and nations of the world. Missions is an organized endeavor to further the global fulfillment of the Great Commission by advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ among all tribes, languages, peoples, and nations of the world. Verse references there would be Matthew 28, 19 through 20, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Now I need to stop, because Nate's kicking me out of the podium here. So I'm going to end there. And if you guys have questions about Oak Ridge and our work of missions, you can consult the website where we have our driving convictions behind world missions at Oak Ridge Community Church posted. You can see me. I can get you a copy of this. We have them in booklet form. Or you can just come talk to me later about it. Okay? Plan to be here next week. We'll hear from Brother T. Okay? Well, we'll pray in just a minute and then dismiss. Appreciate it, Nate. All right. So you guys have more clarity as far as the work of missions and being a missionary. Yeah. We've really worked hard to hammer that out. So let me give a plug here. Currently, the missions committee consists of three people: me, Levita, and Brandy. Brandy Kohlberg, Levita Ayala, and myself. So I would. I'd love for more people to be involved in the missions committee. We meet once a month. Most of the time, we try to meet the first Wednesday of each month. but things happen and the meeting has to get rearranged. So if you are interested in being a part of the missions committee and joining us and seeking to make sure that Oak Ridge is doing all we can to engage in the work of missions, then please let me know and I'll keep you posted on when those meetings will be, okay? And what you need to do in order to prepare for the meeting. Let me pray, and then those with kids in Promised Kingdom can go grab them. Father, thank you for entrusting this work of missions to us. Lord, we know in giving it to the church, you've also included us as a local body, as those who are entrusted with it. Lord, it's such a marvelous privilege to think that we are given the message of the glory of your beloved Son. And you trust us to take that message to the world. Lord, what a weighty charge that is. What a wonderful and fearful responsibility it is. Lord, please help us be faithful to you and help us do all that we can to engage in and fulfill the work you've put into our hands. Lord, we want to put our hands to the plow and not look back. Please help us plow well, help us plow straight, help us plow with all our might, Lord, governed by your Spirit and guided by your word. And I pray for these blessings to be ours in abundant measure. Lord, would you bless us for Jesus' sake? Amen.